Can you put your hands together for Jesus? Hallelujah. God bless you. Let's be seated. Any questions? Those of you watching us online, from wherever you are around the world, can we wave and greet them? Those of you watching us online, can we wave our hands and tell them shalom? Everybody, shall we say shalom, shalom from all around the world. God bless you. Either call us or send us an SMS, Skype us. By any means, we are now interactive. Let's hear your questions. If you ask me any question, I don't know the answer. Are you savvy? I'm not ashamed to say I don't know. You know now you dare ask. Yes, brother, let me hear you.
Praise the Lord. Please, my question is this. It's concerning this image that you're using as a Jesus Christ. You know, we grew up in Deeper Life Ministry. And at those old age, when Kumuyi was preaching, when he has not, there have not been some changes in his ministry. By those days, all this image they are using to represent Jesus these days, those times they don't normally use images in representing Christ. We use cross, and Kumuyi normally preach concerning those things then. So let alone, after they add the theme of Jesus Christ, the image they use in adding that theme those days, after they add those things, they now begin to show it out and begin to use it as image of Jesus Christ. And the church is still preaching against it by that time, that this, you don't need to take this thing as your image of your Savior. But let alone this time around, and I find out that most of the ministries, they are now using that those image as Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, when Christ was on earth, there is nothing like camera to snap him. So I don't know where those images is coming from. Why the church, you embrace the image, and they have not seen Jesus Christ face to face to snap him image. And another one, the Bible said that when we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Praise the Lord. Even the message of William Branham, I've gone through so many of his messages. I've not seen him talking about that image, recognizing it. But he said when he saw Jesus, he saw him as a young boy. Praise the Lord. So that is the question I want to ask. I want to know where those images are coming, that the churches are recognizing it as God, as Christ.
Excuse me. Have you seen that image here?
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Where is
inside
it?
Inside that place. There's an image I saw.
Where?
Inside the building there.
Which building?
One time I came here, there is an image I saw there. I saw your picture, Maria, and I saw William Branham, and I saw image they use as Christ. Three of it is put together there.
Okay, God bless you.
So, that's it.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen. If Jesus had come in the age of photography technology, will we have had his image in pictures now?
Is there?
If Jesus came at the time where there were photographers,
yeah.
Will we have had his picture now? Because he was a human being, he was born by a woman.
Yeah.
Now, if we have that picture, if he had come when there was photographers, and then we hang those pictures, will it have been wrong?
It would be wrong.
Now, do you know that there are artists that are gifted in drawing, just looking at you and draw you exactly?
I know some artists can draw.
Now, there are some artists that saw the vision of the Lord Jesus appear to them, and with that talent, they drew what they saw.
Okay, they saw it, they draw it.
They saw him. Is Jesus not alive?
He's alive, but
is he not appearing to people?
He appears in different forms.
Now listen. The problem we have is not that we have the picture or image of Jesus Christ. There is no commandment, no scripture against it. The scripture is against it. The problem is if anybody puts that and bows before it.
I've seen people bowing on it.
Anybody doing that is idolatry, is against the scripture. So there's nothing wrong about having the picture of somebody who says he saw something in the spirit and he draw what he saw.
People are bowing down on that thing. That's why
I'm agreeing with you. I say anybody bowing before it is wrong. But there's nothing wrong about hanging a picture of somebody who said he saw Jesus and drew him. After all, he lived. He existed. He was born by a human being. He was born by a man and a woman.
Praise the Lord.
I mean, a woman. Yes, sister.
Praise the Lord. So I want to know if what I saw is against church ethics, against our Christian ethics, like my late dad appearing to me, telling me to make some food for him.
Your what?
My late dad.
Late dad. A dream? Or?
Yes, in the dream. That telling me to prepare this and make it like this, just same way he used to when he was alive.
Yes.
So I asked my mom. She was like, it means that I need to do something for him, like, because before he died, I cleaned him up. He prayed for me and all that. So for 4 days, he didn't eat because he had stroke. So he died. So I was thinking, maybe where he is right now, he's hungry. So because he didn't eat for 4 days before he died. So
okay, now.
So I now asked a Yoruba friend of mine. She said, I need to do this thing Yoruba people call Sarah. So that's what I want to know, if it's against our Christian ethics.
Let me quickly tell you, as believers, Christians, we don't believe there is any connection between the living and the dead.
So that's why I want to know.
Now, it's very possible that you got so used to your father, and in the dream world, you could contact him and go back to what he used to do when he was alive in such activities. It's not every dream that is a message. And it's not every dream that you should take seriously. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Hello?
Yes, somebody's on the line.
My question is that I want to move out from the church. The church that I'm being a pastor.
Okay,
the
pastor.
Investigation and everything has been ready, but remember, they will not allow me to go. They will not allow me to leave the church. What can I do?
Thank you very much, Ajulo.
Hello.
Ajulo from Ondo. Listen, Ajulo. That church doesn't have problem. You are the one that have problem. I gave my life to Christ and I have passed through 4 churches before we came and started this church. And let me tell you, I never prayed or gone to seek counsel from anybody before I changed my church. And the way I am, every church I was playing a very prominent role there. And when it's time for me to leave, I am dissatisfied with anything happening. I walk to the pastor. I say it again, I have never prayed over it. The only thing is, I will not leave until I have found another one. Once I have found another place that I've decided to go, I come to my pastor. Sorry, you'll be seeing me here again, me and my family. I want to thank you for all your contribution to my spiritual life so far. From now on, you don't see me. Brother Moses, why are you leaving? I have seen something I'm looking for somewhere. I want to try that place also. And there should be no query over it. That's why I get surprised when people say, I find it difficult. I don't know how I will live. You don't know how you live, like how? When I enter under covenant, I can't understand how the church is a public place. I came in on my own and decided to become a member. Then when I want to leave, it's very difficult for me to leave. You get problem, Joe. The only reason you cannot leave, maybe because you think if you leave, you will create a vacuum. There's a function you are performing and the church will be affected. Then for morality's sake, for conscience' sake, you don't want the church to suffer your absence. Then you can be praying, hey, who will take over my duty now? I want to go. Hey, this is the only thing keeping me here. How will I go? How will I go? Or maybe, you know, they are the ones feeding you. You are living in their house. And so you have to bear the cost. It's difficult because if I leave, where will I go? Where will I go? Which house? I don't have accommodation. I don't have a job. I don't have any other thing. And yet, so of course, if you depend on the church, then you have to think very well before you leave. But if there is nothing more to tender your resignation as a pastor, maybe you are pastoring one of their branches, and you have found the truth, and you have decided for any other reason you want to leave the church. It's as simple as that. If you people normally should leave by writing, write and leave. And go away. Praise the Lord. The only thing is, don't scatter anybody's place when you want to leave. That's all. As you enter, so you go. Don't convert their branch to your own branch. To your own church. That will be fraud. Fraudulent. Leave and go and start your own. If anybody leave, follow you, come there. Now him follow you, come. When I left my church and I came here, we made sure no member of my former church came here. Follow me. You come, I will ask you, why did you leave that church? Why you come here? By the time I finish with you, you won't stay. You will run. Praise the Lord. So that nobody will say, I scatter his church. God bless you. Resign and go. Or remain there. Yes.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
There is a little Bible quotation here that is disturbing me, sir. And I need a little clarification. It's on 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17.
It says, 1 John.
Yes, sir. 5:16 and 17, it says, if any man see his brother sin, a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
Pastor Weston handle that question one time with me on phone. Oh yeah, come on, call a microphone. Tell them. Don't think I'm the only one that can answer you. You ask me in various ways, sin unto death.
Praise the Lord. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 11, you will discover that in speaking about the man that was sleeping with his father's wife, Paul says that he should be handed over to the devil for the destruction of his flesh, dead now, that his spirit may be saved. So that brother has reached a point whereby whatever we do about his case, he is not worthy to live anymore. The Lord is withdrawing him home. So to pray to save his life to live on earth, that's what Apostle John is saying there. he has gone to a level whereby God has to recall him home. And you know, in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul was admonishing them how they should take the Lord's Supper worthily, and that if they take it unworthily, it is the reason why some of them sleep. That means they die. The Lord recalls them home. It's not because they are going to hell. They are saved. They have the Spirit of God. But their attitude of childishness has reached a level whereby no matter how you pray for them to live, it's not possible. So they need to be recalled back home. So to such, you cannot pray. So it is by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that you know it has got to this level. There is nothing anybody can do. In fact, I just saw a clip, I don't know how many years back, a pastor in a church, you know, who I think he committed adultery or so, and that the thing bothered him. So he came before the church, you know, and made confession. And as the church were crying and he couldn't contain, he had a heart attack and he slumped and he died in the church. You know, and I was referring to my brother. I said, is it a case of the Lord recalling his servant home based on what the damage that testimony could do to the psyche of the people? Or he himself may not be able to contain the situation thereafter. Even though he has made it right, the Lord has probably recalled him home. Praise the Lord. So when it gets to a level whereby no matter what we do, we can't leave you on earth, the Lord has to recall you up. No amount of our prayer can keep you here. Praise the Lord. So that one, you cannot do anything about it. But of course, there's a situation whereby he may be sick. And that is why the Bible says, if he commit any sin, it shall be forgiven him. And the prayer of prayer of faith will heal the sick in the book of James. So that one, recovery is possible. There are those it has got to a stage whereby it is no more a thing we can pray about to get him back. The Lord has to recall him home. Is that clear? God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
You know, why I told him to come, so that you hear like I heard it. I have always believed and taught that the sin unto death is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But when he brought it from that dimension, then it became clearer that the sin unto death is deeper than blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. I agree with him. Okay, on the screen, Sister Pear from Ghana. Is it possible for someone to have the Holy Ghost and still be initiated by the marine spirit? I wish you can talk back to me. What do you mean? After the person has received the Holy Ghost, then he gets initiated? Or the person was already initiated and you expect that now that you have received the Holy Ghost, that, you know, whether the person can still have that spirit tormenting you after you have had the Holy Ghost? I think there are two different approach to that. Well, since I cannot talk back to you, let me look point it this way. I look at it from the two angles. Is it possible for somebody who has received the Holy Ghost to be initiated? When you say initiated, initiation is something that you willingly go and enter into. But there is demon possession. Can you have the Holy Ghost and a demon will come and possess you? Yes, it is possible. How is it possible if you decide to live carelessly? If you have the Holy Ghost and decide to be carnal, instead of walking in the spirit, you walk in the flesh. And we have the works of the flesh, and we have the result of it. Yes. And that is why, when you have received the Holy Ghost, it's expected that you will live a holy life. And when you live a holy life, you will not go the pathway of where these demons will have access, because the Bible says you should break the hedge. What will happen? Serpent will bite you. The other way around, you can have the Holy Ghost. I mean, you may have been initiated, but now being initiated is entering into a covenant that makes a spirit take control of your life. But now when you come into the covenant that is sealed with the blood of Jesus, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you give your life to Christ. The covenant you have with that other demon, marine spirit or whatever it is, automatically is broken. It is now you can go for deliverance. Yes, there are some, immediately you receive the Holy Ghost, God himself will chase that spirit away. But some, God will allow you to go and fight with the power that he has given you now and chase that spirit away. So this is my answer from the two angles. God bless you. Yes.
Good morning, sir. My question is, I want to be cleared of something. I'm just scared of it. Some say I have familiar spirits. Some say I have familiar spirits. Some time ago, I even went to a zonal leader in Deeper Life to talk to him, see what used to happen to me. He also said it's familiar spirits. So that thing is, like, before my father died, I was on a I wasn't sleeping. I knew myself. I was lying down on a bed. All of a sudden, I saw my father dead. So we were going to bury him. I was carrying my father from the head while my younger brother was carrying him from the leg. So while we went to bury my dad in that transit, I saw my senior brother's dead body inside the grave. And there was water there. The body was just on top of the water. And I told my brother, I've never seen where two people were buried in the same grave, that we have to make an altar. My brother was like, I seen him. He said, let's put it there. Are they not dead bodies? I said, no. So while I thought, I opened my eyes and I was just sitting down on the bed. Then that happened on Friday. On Saturday, I prayed. I even called home. I hope my dad is not kind of in trouble. They all told me that everything was right. On Saturday, my father died. And when my father died, nobody among all the whole family. It was about 12,000 naira they contributed for my daddy's burial. I took everything. Everything was just on my head. All the savings I made, my business, I put it there to make sure that that burial was successful. That one had passed. Then my late brother, before he died, that morning I stood up.
Excuse me. God bless you. Sorry. You have a question to ask. I'm trying to understand you. You see revelations and it comes to pass. Correct? And then you went, and when you share with people, they say you have familiar spirit.
Yes, sir.
That's your question.
Yes, sir.
You normally see revelations. And anything you see, it will come to pass.
Yes, sir.
And because you said it, they heard you and it came to pass, your Deeper Life pastor said it is familiar spirit. So you want to ask if it is a familiar spirit you have.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen. Listen. You have a gift. And that gift is the gift of the word of knowledge. You are not possessed by a familiar spirit. You are a Christian. You attend Deeper Life?
No, sir.
Which church do you attend?
When I saw so many things that discouraged me, I stopped even going to church at all.
You got frustrated, you stopped going to church?
Yes, sir.
Because they were calling you are possessed.
Not just that. There were so many things I encountered with them. Their leaders, the way they handle things.
Okay. So, there are people that are born with certain gifts. Even before they become Christians, even before they receive the Holy Ghost, they exercise that gift. And even little children, some of them are little children, they see things. I spoke with Prophet Sunday's mother a few days ago, and then I wanted to find out about her son, Sunday. And she's confirmed that since Sunday was small, he used to see things. She would tell him, shut up. And he would say, see, they don't carry him. He don't go. They don't carry him. He don't go. Go where? Shut up. Go where? He don't go. Go. The next day, the person will die. She said, the father, the same thing. That they saw, he say, see, Papa, crossroad, motor hit him, he died. He said, shut up. Small time, it happened exactly like that. And she was giving other examples. So he was born with a gift. And when you are around people who don't understand it, they will call you possessed. Of course, a demon can also take advantage of that and also do so many things. But that demon does not come on everybody. It can only come on somebody who already has the gift. So when you come to Christ and you receive the Holy Ghost in a right atmosphere, you are now tutored, and that gift, you know, the Holy Ghost takes over and oppresses that gift for both for your benefit and edification of the church. So you have a gift of the word of knowledge. You are not possessed.
Thank you, sir.
Because if you are possessed, you will know. Everyone that has a wrong spirit knows the source of the spirit, you know. The fact that you are arguing it is evidence you are not possessed. So don't sit at home. Go to church. God bless you. God bless you.
Sir, I have a question on tithe. If I have a tithe to pay, say 40,000 tithe, and I see someone with a desperate need of 20,000, if I decide to give that person 20,000 and bring the other 20,000 as a tithe, will it be acceptable before God?
Listen very well. If all that you have at that material time is only that 40,000, you don't have any other money anywhere, only that 40,000, which you kept to go and pay your tithe, and somebody in desperate need comes to you, and that is all that you have, you take part of it or even all of it and give him who is in need. If he's actually in need, you have paid your tithe. Now, listen very well. Such instances rarely come up, because certainly you are paying tithe, and tithe is only 10%. So it means 90% is still with you. So, for you to take the only 10%, you kept the 90%, and you said this is the only one left. That means the 90% plus any other one, you have already used it, and this is all. Even money to chop self, you don't get the gold dropper. That's why I say it's rarely the case. So, I know that it can happen, particularly in a particular moment. Because you may have the money, but it may not be here. It may be in the bank. And this is the whole cash you have with you. And it is just that. Of course, you can't go to the bank. You can't go anywhere else. And this is all. And a child of God comes and you take the money that belonged to his own father to give him. You have not sinned. You have paid your tithe. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Pastor, morning, sir. So there was a discussion I had with my boss about correct water baptism. So when we finished that discussion now, we quote some Bible quotations, and I quoted Acts 19, Apostle Paul was telling the people that were wrongly baptized to correct their water baptism. And so after the whole discussion, I now, because I know that he's a deacon in Assemblies of God, I now asked him, "Oga, have you baptized?" He said, "Yes." "So how did you baptize?" He said, "Under the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." I told him, "Oga, you are wrong, go. It's a wrong baptism. Don't worry, I'll get a tip for you." Then I came here and I bought that CD and gave him. He watched the CD. And in the morning, he called me. "Ben, we are going to continue this discussion. This thing is confusing." So the question now came in now. Said, "Under which name was the people that John the Baptist baptized before Jesus Christ was baptized, and even Jesus himself, under which name were they baptized?" So the question had been bothering me. And then when I came in this evening, when you talked about the question, I quickly stood up.
Wait, let me also understand this. Who gave that commandment for baptism? Who?
It was Jesus Christ.
By the time he gave that commandment, was it after he gave that commandment he was baptized, or he himself was baptized before that commandment was given?
Before he was baptized.
John the Baptist baptized before that commandment, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Because both Jesus, at the time he was baptized, and John the Baptist's baptism, they were done under the law. But after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the covenant of grace was initiated. And we are justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are dead with him, Jesus. We are buried with him, Jesus. And we resurrect with him, Jesus. And baptism, according to him, is to be preached in his name. Okay. Because that is the name for our salvation. So, don't bring Old Testament to the New Testament when it comes to grace. We are in grace, and this is how it is done under grace. John the Baptist was not under grace, he was under the law. Okay. Jesus was under the law. Okay. God bless you.
Thank you.
Yes?
Good morning,
Sister Lucy from Cameroon. Shalom, church. My question is about marriage. Is it right for a Christian wife to report marital problems of physical violence in a police station? Praise the Lord. Listen, first and foremost, there is nothing wrong for any citizen to go to a police station. It is recognized under the law. You have not broken the law of the land. But it is also expected that if you belong to a church, that there are elders that will handle problems among brethren. It's expected that you will exploit that avenue first of the church, settling your matter like a family. And when the church is not able to handle it, and especially when the threat to life is involved, then you go to the police so that they can check that. There's nothing wrong with it. There are some legalists that will say Apostle Paul was speaking against it. Now, why do you go to the law? So you don't have people among you that can settle this, people that wish are judge, You are instead going to them for judgment. He was saying it because every little matter, they will run to court. They will run to court. And I agree with Apostle Paul. We should start among ourselves first and settle such problems. Unfortunately, we are in an age now where tears have overtaken the church. And they have no respect for the leadership of the church anymore. And no matter what you tell them, they are no longer going to listen to the pastor, listen to the elders. They still go home and get worse. If you find yourself in that situation where either of the parties has no respect for the church, God understands why you have to go to the law for your protection. God bless you.